You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookseller. Publishers Weekly calls Get Scrappy a helpful digital marketing Bible. You can read the first chapter, get special digital extras, and learn more now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Bruce Kennedy. Bruce is a social media manager at Cision, where he manages Cision's global brands. Previously, he worked in public relations, in tech and entertainment, helping brands from early-stage startups to household names like Red Bull, Disney on Ice, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey, Tech Week, and more. You can connect with him on LinkedIn and follow him on Twitter, and we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Bruce, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Great to be here.
Now, this is, I would have to say, an on-brand first, because Bruce actually had a very minor role in last week's live episode of the On Brand podcast, in which you can probably hear him in what sounds like audience applause. That is because the first that you represent is someone that was in the audience of the On Brand podcast, which largely being conducted via Skype, as we're doing right now. Live shows are few and far between. You're literally someone that came out of the audience and onto the show a week later. And first, thank you for joining us at South by Southwest.
Of course, yeah.
I feel like the airline message, which is probably showing where my traveling head is at, of saying that we know that you have many choices when you fly. We know you have many choices when you're at South by Southwest. So, of course, thank you for joining us both then and this week as well.
Yeah, actually, I actually do have a bigger cameo in the last podcast than just background clapping because I got a question in.
That's right.
Yeah, so you can hear me ask about, I think I asked about getting, that podcast was a lot to do with speaking up about your values during a politically divisive time as a brand. And I think I get a question in about, you know, trying to sell that internally to CEOs and CMOs who might be a little hesitant to push the envelope.
Yeah, I love that. That is a great point. So I think the question started at about 40 minutes into that live podcast funnery. And a third connection, since we're hitting them all, and we will definitely link up to this as well, but you wrote a great recap of the event that appeared on the Cision blog this past week. So that is great as well. So thank you also for doing that.
We're covering all our ground here, multimedia, in-person events, podcast,
I was gonna say,
blog.
Someone could take some sort of content creation lesson from the two of us. We are reformatting about every word we've spoken to one another and creating content from it. So
I love it.
A content marketing win.
It's efficiency.
So speaking of, you know, covering all of the bases and all of the different things, you have a diverse background with many different brands, as I read through that there, from Red Bull to Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey. So what is, you know, I've been asking this a lot for a project that I'm working on, but, and obviously with the focus of this podcast, what is kind of your go-to definition for a brand or branding?
So it's really interesting to me the way I think the definition of what a brand is. I think we're seeing that change, especially with the advent of social media. And the last podcast that you did at South by Southwest talked a lot about authenticity and, you know, really trying to show the behind the scenes. Who's the person behind the brand? Who's your CEO? What does he believe in? And I see that filtering through, whereas brand used to be the identity of an organization, you know, it was the public facing identity of their and the internal facing identity, because you have a brand, your brand's always going to be largely dependent on what your employees think about you and what your employees say about you. But with social media, one of the things that I find very interesting is that people don't want to talk to just a brand, and they realize that they aren't talking to Nike when they tweet at Nike and somebody responds. They realize that they're talking to, you know, Stacy Smith from New York, who's the brand manager for Nike. So
we're going to have Stacy Smith from New York on the podcast next week.
That would be really impressive, since she's made up entirely.
that's the kind of podcast magic we make here.
Yeah, that's.
I interrupted with a bad joke.
No. That's fine. But that's one thing about branding that I think has been really interesting to me, is to see this sort of recognition from people that there are actual people behind the brand, and that's becoming something that people want to see. I went to a lot of social media meetups at South by Southwest. Was talking with you know, different social media managers for Sundance Film Festivals and all these different companies, and just how much content they've produced that was what they thought their fans would be interested in. Hey, we're doing a panel on this. I'm going to live stream the panel. And they would get no viewership, no interaction. But then they started doing, hey, we're doing a panel on branding or whatever it is. And instead of live streaming the panel, we're going to live stream backstage when our CMO is getting ready to go out there and, you know, getting his thoughts together. And that behind the scenes content and showing off the person behind the brand has become like its own facet of marketing and branding that you have to be concerned with now.
That's interesting. I mean, why do you think that is? Because that is kind of a shift too, when we talk about, you know, it used to be, in speaking of content and branded content, that the content was the panel. Is it something we're looking for in brands, that authenticity? Or is it a function of our new live streaming media that creates that need for, I don't just want to see the thing. Of course I can see the thing, the panel.
Right.
I want to see something more. What's a degree further?
Right. No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think it's 100% a shift that's happening because of the channel. So you have these live streaming capabilities, and you have, you know, every office is posting pictures of their office on Instagram or whatever it is. And you have all these tools to connect directly with the people behind the brand. And before, it was a very calculated, you know, you put out your big press release with what you want to say, and that's still necessary. But you have to also give that sort of behind the scenes because of the nature of the channel. You know, Facebook Live, if I come across Nike's Facebook Live, or I don't want to keep plugging Nike.
I was going to say, you're doing Stacy Smith's job for her.
Yeah. I better get a free pair of shoes or something.
Exactly.
But Red Bull or whoever it is, you know, if you come across their Facebook live stream, by the very nature of, hey, this is a live video from wherever we're at, I feel like some people are doing very well produced things with that, and they are taking off. But I think just by nature of the platform, you kind of expect a more spontaneous in the, you know, in the heat of the moment, behind the scenes look at like what's going on. Like, where's their social media manager today? What are they doing? Are they getting ready to, like, for Facebook Live right now? I know Red Bull did the Stratosphere jump a couple years back.
Yeah.
But that would be like the Facebook Live video now would be, you know, that morning leading up to it, getting ready. And, oh, how are you feeling? Like, are you anxious about jumping from outer space essentially back to the Earth today? And I think
I would love to see that content. Wonderfully, if you would have asked it just I love that when you jump, is it sort of, you don't want to scare them, but creeping into that question that way would be hilarious. Well, it's interesting because it's almost like the space jump's a great example because it's an extreme example,
right,
in every sense of the word.
I mean,
that's, few take it to the literal stratosphere like that. but it's also kind of this, beyond the literal size and scope of the content, it is figuratively very big content. You know, you talk about all the different pieces of content that you create.
Right.
And I think what would be different, as you note today, is kind of this ecosystem that would be around that. I mean, we've always kind of talk about, you know, how can we get more than one piece of content out of the content that we're creating? We even joked about it a bit earlier. But with the tools that we have, you know, that would have really, as hard as it is to say that, that would have really only scratched the surface because there would have been so much more today that you could do with that of before, after, leading up to, everything else that I do think that that's kind of changing the view into the brands that we know, love, and trust today.
Right. There's different ways to interact with them. Disney did a great, when the new Jungle Book movie was coming out, they did one of the first interactive Facebook 360 photos that I saw. And a lot of them now are like live spaces, but this was a CGI one. And I was scrolling across my newsfeed and I had no interest in seeing the new Jungle Book, but I come across this photo and it was inside King Louis's temple. And you start moving your phone around and you're looking around in different places. And then you turn all the way around 360 and there's a giant Christopher Walken orangutan behind you. And I actually remember moving my face back from the phone and being genuinely surprised, shocked, and even a little bit scared for a minute. And all of a sudden it was like I was in the movie, and that there was no possible way to do that type of promotion beforehand. You either saw the movie and you got the sense of the scale of this, you know, giant frightening creature that they're trying to convey on the silver screen. But now they can bring that to an iPhone, maybe in a more effective way than seeing it in the actual movie.
This is a great example. And the Jungle Book, actually, as I think about all of this, really, and I believe they won some effects awards, but I also think in terms of their marketing, I, as listeners know, I have a million kids. And so I see, you know, it's hard for me to get to the grown-up movies because I'm so busy seeing all of the kids' movies. So I was going to be at the Jungle Book anyways. That was going to happen. But all of the marketing around it, I feel like, was very good. I was, speaking of South by Southwest, I was walking the exhibit hall floor, and there was some tech, as we talk about the new tools that we have and the access and authenticity that it's allowing us to create for our brands. One of the examples that they had, or one of the vendors, and they will probably be happy that I remembered it, but not so happy that I can't remember their name. The tech that they were showing allowed you to show the split screen of the VFX between what they shot like on the blue screens,
right,
on the sound stages with what the final product was, but the user on a touch screen could scrub back and forth between the two versions of that.
Wow.
And again, it was one of those things, kind of like you noted, of initially I was like, why would I want to see this? But then as I was doing it more, I'm like, this is kind of fun. This is kind of cool. And now,
yep,
and all of a sudden, I am an actor in that story. I mean, not even in the literal story of the Jungle Book, the movie, but kind of the story of that Disney brand experience, which they've, you know, always been experts at.
Right. And that's, again, that comes back to a little bit of the behind the scenes, because you're seeing how this technology works. And that was something else from South by Southwest that I really loved, was there was a panel with Huffington Post, the New York Times, Political, I think, was there. There was a couple different media outlets there, and they were talking about how their content has changed. And with all of the discussion around fake news and, you know, the authenticity of different stories, they've started including in their reporting how this story was obtained, how many sources they had, this, you know, nitty-gritty journalism background that people used to not care about whatsoever. The same way, you know, you want to see the visual effects in the movie, but you don't, maybe prior didn't really care about how they worked, and now you have these interactive experiences you can see at South by Southwest and other places, and you can throw the whatever it is, Disney movie character, all of a sudden you become them, and it gives you this much more in-depth experience.
So to kind of build on that, these are, and I love going to South by Southwest. I love hearing from people from Huffington Post, from, you know, I saw another panel with WWE and ESPN, all these great big kind of colossal entertainment brand giants, and you've worked with many as your bio notes. But I know that you've probably, in thinking of you know, businesses, brands out there listening that are thinking, yes, that's totally true today. But then there's this gulf that they feel of, but what does that mean for me, for my business? Because I think that that's kind of the thing about these next level thoughts is, how do you kind of back into that? How do you take some of those pieces and create that kind of experience or story for your brand?
Right. So I think one of the great things you can do is just innovate first. For a long time, marketing has warned people against shiny object syndrome, whichever you call it. You know, don't go invest all of your social media budget into Snapchat in the first year Snapchat comes out, because, you know, maybe no one will be on it next year. But what we're seeing now is there are a lot of low-cost tech platforms that are coming out, which give even smaller brands the opportunity to do really cool. You don't have to do a CGI 360 Facebook photo with, you know, King Louie voiced by Christopher Walken. You can do a 360 photo just in an interesting place that no one thought to do it yet. There was some the other day, and I'm blanking on the brand. I remember I saved it on Facebook and then meant to go back and look at it more later. But they set up a 360 photo in Times Square, which probably cost them whatever the cost of a 360 camera is, a couple hundred bucks, something like that. And it was getting shared thousands of times on Facebook because apparently no one had thought to do this yet. And they did it during, you know, there was like the snow that came in while we were enjoying 70 degree weather in Austin. Yes. And everyone else across the country was blanketed in snow. They did it during this big, you know, snowfall that was hitting out of nowhere. So it was a really cool video, probably cost them next to nothing. you know, in terms of like the return that they get on it and how much to reach they got out of that. Another example, there's a company, a social media company called Zoomf that we work with. And one of the employees, one of the higher level employees, has a drone, and he does the same thing a lot of social media influencers do, which is document their travels. You know, they take video while they're at South by Southwest. They talk to people. They post it in like these video diaries almost. But he's had a drone, which are relatively low cost now. You can get them for a couple of $100. And his content goes so much farther because everyone else is doing it on their cell phone, and he invested a little bit of money to have these cool aerial shots. So if he's at South by Southwest and I post a video of, you know, I'm in the third row and Mark Cuban speaking or something like that, people might be interested in that. But if you have a drone flying over 6th Street when there's, you know, tens of thousands of people roaming around and all sorts of events going on, that's a pretty low cost way to produce unique content that no one else is doing. Because there's so much new technology, you can kind of hop on the bandwagon before it's a bandwagon, before everyone else is doing something cool with it.
Well, that's interesting too, because you talk about, you know, hopping on the bandwagon before everybody knows it's a bandwagon. And in the session I went to on brand building through live video, there's a big discussion on quality versus speed. And I think that, you know, there's something to that of getting, I feel like faster scares people because they feel like they're behind. But I think fast in execution, as opposed to I'm being quick and sloppy and I'm so advanced on everything, of just that kind of that experimenter's mindset.
Right.
Because I'm sure that that's, you talked about that that example earlier of we tried a panel and, you know, nothing happened. And I'm sure it was a random idea of someone's to, oh, hey, what if we have a shoot a little backstage conversation before the panel, and that ended up catching on. I mean, I think that there's, you know, there's all kinds of reasons to not do something, because I'm sure that that's, that was also what someone said, oh, why would we do that? Because I even know, I will, confession, you talk about, you know, the panel that we did there. You know, I was, had so much on my mind, you know, I barely had, got a photo taken. And now I'm sitting here thinking, ah, would have been smarter to do something like that. I don't know. I think there's, it almost seems like, and I will out myself here with this. It almost feels like with everything live, all of this access, authenticity of flipping the camera around, you talk about the diary stuff. I know lots of people that do really well on that. Not just personal brands, but organizational brands that are flipping the camera around, flipping the phone around. And I know for me, and it's funny because I'm a speaker too, but for me, I have a little bit of almost, I don't want to call it stage fright, but almost that, because it's smaller than that. It's somewhere in between. I'll hop on stage and talk to all kinds of people, but something smaller of, oh, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to, it feels like a risk. It feels like something that is a little bit different than the other things that we do.
No, I totally agree with you. And I'm right there with you. I have all those same, fears and hesitations, and I'm the type of guy who wants really well planned out content and a schedule, and I know exactly when everything's going to happen.
You're saying that in a way that makes it sound like we can't have that.
Well, it's not that you can't have it, but you know, if you look at the market and you see, this is where things are going. If you see Facebook transitioning to live video, and that's what's getting the reach, that's what's getting the engagement. If you see YouTube, you know, now working on some live streaming capabilities, and that's getting engagement, that's getting reach, and that's what people are gravitating towards more. I mean, look at what happened with Twitch. You couldn't have sold a business in the 90s and said to people, I'm going to record myself playing video games and people are going to pay me to do it. Because I would have never went to college. I would have, that would be my business for the rest of my life. So there's that hesitation, but there's, you know, you have to decide if there's, you know, there's definitely ways around it. Everything doesn't have to be live streaming and it doesn't make sense necessarily for every brand. But I would say, excuse me, I think it's always going to be worth the value of trying. And you learn so much about it from making mistakes. And I think we're starting to see people be a bit more forgiving. And this kind of goes back to the entire podcast and discussion that you had at South by Southwest, where you have to be, you know, you have to be willing to make a mistake. If you want to appear authentic, you have to be willing to make a mistake. And if you're going to have a Facebook Live strategy, if you're going to have a live streaming strategy, you have to talk with management up front and say, hey, well, you know, this live video format, like some things might go wrong. And this is what we're going to do if something goes wrong.
It's interesting because what you're saying in kind of that, that great script that you just gave for kind of managing up, which was what your question during last week's show was about too. It sounds like, as someone that has been, you know, working, consulting, teaching on the cusp of kind of this big wave, this first big wave of social media, those were the same things that you would say to address those fears. Right. Of, okay, look, we're going to be more exposed than we are because we've got a Facebook page now. We're on Twitter. Someone might say something bad to us. Well, they probably will, and we have to do. But your answers, again, I think turn that around. It's the same thing. So it makes me think that we're kind of on this spectrum, as we keep using our buzzwords for this episode of the hour of access and authenticity, that social, the first wave of social, I don't know if it's the first, but whatever wave it is of just even getting on these social networks and engaging has been the first wave. And I feel like what we're at the cusp of right now is this next wave that is, like you were kind of listing off all of the things that are big right now, provide this greater level of access that, oh, by the way, it's those same things we need to take the deep breaths and think about before as well.
Right. I think you just drew a great parallel that I hadn't even considered myself, and I think you might have just saved a lot of branding firms a good amount of billable hours, because they just realize when they're trying to sell a new tech strategy, they can go back to 2 or 3 years ago when they were trying to sell, you need to be on Twitter and we need to do a live chat and you're going to have to answer tough questions as they come up, and we're going to have to deal with negative comments and address them in 140 characters instead of a full length press release. And they can just dust off that playbook and change a few of the buzzwords around. And I think they have a solid plan.
I think that's so true. Cause to me, if nothing else, that hopefully, I mean, what was insightful to me, I don't know that I thought about it this way, that instead of saying, okay, forget everything, you know, new thing now. We were doing that. Now we're doing this. To me, it would be, I would think, calming to leadership, calming to your executive team to say, this isn't a left field thing that we're not ready for. This is the next level of what we're currently doing.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think that's a great way to sell it. You know, to kind of get internal buy-in. And again, that's one of the most important parts in marketing in general. when you're trying to innovate and you're trying to do something different. We just did a Facebook Live yesterday on this concept of infobesity and marketing in one of the noisiest marketing times ever. Everyone, you need to be doing content marketing. You need to be doing earned media, owned media, paid media. But everyone, you need to be doing social media. And everyone's caught on to that and everyone's doing it. So now you need to be doing it in a way that stands out. And having that discussion with leadership, if you're constantly going back and forth and saying, here's the next big thing, we have a great idea on what we want to do with it that's unique to our brand and helps tell our brand story to a new audience or to the same audience who might not be engaged with us anymore, or even just in a new way, if that's behind the scenes in a way our audience has never seen us before, then it'd be great to have that buy-in out of the gate, you know, have that discussion with management you just talked about. Hey, this is nothing new. We're going to be adopting new technologies the same way we adopted new technologies last year and the year before that and the year before that. They're not that different. They're all focused around this concept of authenticity and giving people behind the scenes access to something they haven't had before. That's the way the market's going. This way, when you're bringing them that new concept, it's not this scary unknown. They're kind of already briefed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I love, you know, this reminds me of one of the very earliest things that you said. It kind of brings us full circle as we wrap up here. But you talked about people care about the people behind the brand. And there's those people that are on the front lines that you think of, Stacy Smith at Nike. we will get an account created for her. But she'll be the best fictitious brand manager on the web. But they care about those frontline people. But those frontline people can only do their job with that kind of foundation, with that kind of buy-in that you just outlined. So all of this is incredibly connected.
Right. 100%. And people realize now, I think people are coming to really respect brands who are giving their frontline people that sort of empowerment. I mean, if you look at some of the airlines, what some of the airlines have done, they have social media powerhouses. They have as many people working in, if not more, people working in Twitter customer service as they have manning the phone lines. Mm-hmm. Which is a smart move for them. It's an incredibly smart move for them, because what happens when you have 10,000 people at your airport and all the flights are grounded? Yeah. They all go on Twitter and they immediately start complaining, and then you're trending, and you know, there's I don't want to name an airline and say something bad about them, but you have a airline name terrible is a trending topic or something like that. And now they put all this money and effort behind empowering all these customer service reps to respond immediately on Twitter and help address people's issues if they've lost their baggage or if their flight's delayed, and give them information updates and tell them what's going on. And that messaging in the past might have all been stuck at the top, and you know, they don't want to let everyone have control of that and be able to, you know, speaking authentically, I think is really important too. I think we still see a canned message that is approved by legal. And then a brand will tweet that and only that in response to some sort of crises. And people will call you out on that too. They'll just copy, they'll screenshot all the times you copy and pasted the exact same message, and they will say, hey, you're just sending us a canned message, you're not actually answering any question. So I think I know for me personally, it gives me a level of respect for management that they're empowering their frontlines people to do their job the way they need to be doing their job. And I think that's a branding win for them from the top down.
Awesome. Well, that should bring a smile to the face of everyone in an organization, from the front lines to management as well. Speaking of smiles, as we wrap up, Bruce, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Now, we didn't plan this, but that actually is a perfect lead into that question, because the brand that has made me smile the most recently is Wendy's. And being why, if you don't follow Wendy's on Twitter, if you are a lifetime Burger King or McDonald's fan, I would still recommend you following Wendy's on Twitter, because they're hilarious. Their brand manager has been killing it. Just people tweet at them and they have these funny, witty comebacks that they throw out there very quickly. And that's something, a sense of humor has been something that's been a little bit absent in marketing, especially in social media. Because you'll have a sense of humor in a paid ad where you completely control the message. But anytime you're joking, it can be misinterpreted and it can be a bit dangerous, I guess, or high risk for the brand. But sometimes high risk, high reward. Yeah. Wendy's, we actually, I was just curious about how much interest they were getting from this. So I went through with Cision Media database and did some media monitoring on mentions of Wendy's. And over a course of, I think, 2 or 3 days, they had something like 475 earned media placements. And this was Ad Age talking about Wendy's Twitter storm and how good of a job they were doing. PR Daily, all of the industry publications and marketing publications covered it. And even Anderson Cooper did a piece on it.
Well, and that is a great example, literally, of what you just said about the impact authenticity has in allowing you to stand out. I mean, I can't think of Wendy's example. I can't think of something else that Wendy's has done that has gotten my attention like that.
Yeah, probably the Baconator was the last thing that really...
There you go. All right, awesome. Well, Bruce, as we wrap up, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
So the best way to learn more about me, I guess, would be going over to Cision. On Twitter, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or check out our blog. I'm a regular contributor to our blog, with my thoughts on marketing and branding and social media. So I would just check us out there.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Bruce, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick. It was great.
And as we wrap, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Rachel Sperling of an ad kid at LatinWorks in Texas gave us a shout for our live episode that we've been referencing liberally throughout this episode here with Bruce. Rachel, thank you for listening, for tweeting, and for sharing even more of our conversation on authentic brands and advocacy. And a reminder, if you liked something that you heard on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes and Stitcher. Speaking of both of those, head over to iTunes or Stitcher, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. And remember, On Brand is brought to you by my book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. You can order now at Amazon and check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.